I always look to our friends at places like Bank of America to tell us and you and share with us what's going on with this economy, because it is a very ambiguous, arduous thing to read, because we've gone through a number of quarters now with negative GDP growth. The job market remains brisk. Housing has come to a slowdown. Energy rates are through the roof here. We heard today from OPEC, oil-producing exporting countries, they're going to cut production, meaning prices are going up on oil. We're heading into the winter months in the Northeast. Interest rates are now probably 7% for a fixed 30-year mortgage. So I think the R word is real, but or recession. But Stephen Juneau is one of the top economists at Bank of America, and he does a super job at kind of boiling through a lot of the spin, and we are delighted he's back with us. Good morning, New Hampshire GMI Studios. Stephen, good morning. I'd love your update on where we're at with this American economy.
Yeah, good morning, Jack, and thanks for having me on, as always. Happy to be back. So I would say, I mean, last time we spoke, we had just gotten the second quarter of data, and we saw the second consecutive quarter of negative GDP growth. And there were worries that the U.S. economy is in a recession already. But we kind of pushed back on that view because the momentum, the job market hiring was just too strong. And what we're seeing really to date in 3Q, while we don't have the official 3Q GDP numbers in front of us yet, and we won't get those until the end of October, the data that we do have on hand suggests the economy rebounded in 3Q. So I think we were right in saying that we weren't in a recession in the first half of this year. The economy is looking a lot stronger in 3Q. The U.S. consumer continues to prove resilient in the face of rising cost pressures. And some of the factors that were drags on growth in the first half of the year won't be drags in 3Q. But I think what you mentioned at the top of the show was absolutely correct. One area of the U.S. economy that continues to weaken is housing. You could say that sector is arguably in a recession. The affordability shock of higher rates and rising home prices has led to a drying up in sales and a plunge in new construction, especially in the single-family space. And the Fed's policy stance is clearly affecting that sector. But we just haven't seen that trickle through to other areas of the economy. Overall, though, I'd say 3Q is looking a lot better, but we still are of the view that, you know, the U.S. economy is headed for a recession, but maybe not this year anymore, but starting sometime in 2023. Because the fact of the matter is that higher inflation declines purchasing power, and the Fed's policy stance, by taking a very restrictive policy stance, is going to put downward pressure on demand eventually. You're seeing it in housing. You're seeing it in investment. Eventually, you're going to see it in terms of labor demand, and you're going to see the unemployment rate rise, and that should spill over to consumer growth and lead to a pullback there.
Stephen Juneau, Bank of America. Stephen, I'm going to go back to something you saw, even though the official data is not in on Q3, strong consumer spending still, sort of defying the odds. Let me make this, because you're the economist, I'm not, let me make this respectful argument to the jury, if you will. I notice here in New England, when I'm out and about still on weekends, and we, you know, this is a fun time of year with fall and the foliage, really brisk consumer activity. The restaurants are full, the waiting lines are still there, and none of this is cheap. Everything's expensive. Housing is the first thing I'm seeing that's slowing here. And so consumer demand's still high, but consumers haven't had 2 or 3 months in a row of doubling of the electricity rates, higher oil and gas. Gas was, you know, we saw a little break at the end of the summer, early fall. I think that's going up again. They haven't borrowed money lately, so, you know, interest rates are now way up. And, you know, they kind of probably adjusted the grocery bill. But my worry is once we get into October, November, home heating going to go through the roof. A lot of people in the Northeast still use oil. Natural gas is causing electricity rates. And here in New Hampshire, we have all-time record high electricity rate bills from the utilities. And I think that's going to start to sort of slow down that consumer demand that might have put a false high in Q3. Is that possible? Or consumer spending?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. I mean, we're definitely of the view that higher costs are eventually going to be a tax on consumption. Inflation is essentially a tax on all consumers, on all households. And I think you're right. We got a little bit of a reprieve in terms of energy costs coming down. We do see that continuing through year end. But I think, as you mentioned earlier, the OPEC news maybe changes that view. But if we just look at future pricing for energy costs, at least on the oil side, we do see further declines through year end. But that's a great point around utility costs. Obviously, higher utility bills will eat into consumer spending elsewhere. Right. But overall, they're still able to continue spending at levels that they're still able to maintain their spending levels that they've been spending at. Some of that is due to the fact that they've built up a significant amount of excess savings during the pandemic that they've definitely been drawing down on. So the saving rate has dipped to very low levels. It's around 3% now. Prior to the pandemic, it was around 8%. So you are seeing households dip into their savings in order to offset some of these higher costs.
Right.
But eventually, right, they can't do that. They don't have that dry powder. They run out there, and costs become too much to bear. Inflation is a very difficult thing to cope with in the long run.
Right.
And wage growth isn't necessarily keeping up. So I think you're right. You could see the consumer pull back. We're looking for the recession to start in 1Q of next year, and we do have consumer spending falling in 1Q of next year. So I think that's where we see it happening. Maybe it happens a little bit earlier, depending on where you are in the region. Or where you are in the country, but that's where we have it for the broader country.
Stephen Janelle, before we let you go, I love talking about this stuff, Stephen, with Bank of America. I like public policy and economics, and it all ties. Let me ask you this one. You probably have folks in your life that are like this. So my own kids or people that are younger, you know, homeowners that are into their first or second home, they grew up in a generation where 2 or 3% interest rates were normal. And when I try and share with them what we first paid when I moved to this area for our first home, 14.8% fixed 30-year rate. I thought I was getting a deal. And I've never seen, like I've seen the last few years, the seacoast of New Hampshire, Rockingham County, someone would put a home on the market, I'm being hypothetical but not far off, for, you know, $1.3 million that was arguably a $675,000 property. They put it off for over $1 million. And they want to just sell it for that. There'd be a bidding war. That's first weekend, and someone would buy it for $200,000 over asking price. And I'd say and a lot of the younger folks thought this was going to last forever. I say, you realize this is not going to last. So when I talked to someone this weekend, I said, I think there's a chance we may never see interest rates in our lifetimes below 5% again. Am I kind of crazy with that, Stephen, or not?
Well, I think there's an argument to be made for it, but we're not necessarily in that camp yet. I think what you would have to see if for that to happen is really for inflation to become entrenched in the economy, for elevated inflation to persist for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think that's going to happen, mainly because we do think that this recession will help restore price stability, will help drive down inflation. We believe kind of what the Fed is telling us.
Right.
That they're going to raise rates to the point that pain starts to broaden out to the consumer, to households, and so that prices come down, wage growth comes down. So that's critical to that view. But, you know, if inflation does become entrenched, then there's definitely an argument to be made that we are in a period of maybe structurally higher rates, or higher rates for longer. And I would say on that note as well, we also expect the policy rate to be much higher for longer than the previous expansion. So that maybe if we don't see mortgage rates at, say, 7% in perpetuity, we do see them at maybe higher levels than we saw during the last expansion, because the Fed has to adopt such a restrictive stance. They have to hike rates to a point where they have to quell inflation. So, but I definitely think, you know, the longer this goes on, the stronger that argument becomes that you're making to your friends on the weekend. And it's definitely new to me, you know. So,
yeah. And finally, Stephen Janelle, Bank of America, let you go on this. All the policy people in the Fed seems to be looking, their only tool they have is to raise interest rates to kind of drive down consumer spending and money in the economy. So that's their tool to hammer it down in a recession. Why don't we hear more focus from our leaders, more on the public policy side and the supply side? Because I think that's what needs to get adjusted, because I worry that the supply side could make inflation go longer. Again, am I off base on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, supply has definitely been one of the big drivers of inflation over the past 2 years. So I think you make a good point on there. I think we're still experiencing significant problems when you look at food, when you look at energy, mm-hmm. and other sectors, when you look at new cars, right? So that's kind of the number one example of what supply constraints can do to prices. I think the reason policymakers aren't addressing it, one, the Fed really, that's not the lane they operate out of. Two, in order to fix supply side problems, it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go about it, and if you try to restore price stability by fixing the supply side of the economy, then there's a risk that inflation really becomes entrenched and you get back to that scenario that you were talking about earlier where we have higher rates for a much longer time and much higher rates. And it becomes a much more difficult problem for the Fed to restore price stability because you have higher inflation entrenched in the economy. So right. The reason they're using interest rates, it's blunt, but it's effective, and it can operate relatively quickly to bring down inflation. It can bring down demand relatively quickly. So that's why they're opting for that.
Awesome stuff. Always the best. Always the best. Stephen Juneau, Bank of America, one of their top economists. Thank you so much, Stephen. A lot of clarity. Thank you for sharing that, and I appreciate it. Good morning, New Hampshire GMI Studios. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks.